Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, demonic takeover. It's just another investigation, or so thought paranormal investigator Stacy Jones as she embarked on a journey through a cemetery with her team one night. This investigation should have been no different than the countless others she had been on, except for the fact that her nearly teenage son would be joining her out of convenience. This was a mistake that would lead to many months of torment and heartache, as an unseen entity would take the opportunity of this investigation to attach itself to her son and refuse to let go. What followed the investigation included unexplained noises in their house and a dramatic shift in the behavior of her son. Stacy eventually turned to friend and colleague John Zaffis to help her son move away from the dark entity that followed her family home. Was she successful in removing the demon? That's what we find out today on The Grave Talks.
I started investigating the paranormal back in 1984 was my first investigation. Basically, it came down to my librarian in my town. I grew up about 60 miles outside of New York City. The librarian in my town had said, you know, the people who live in that house across the street think it's haunted, and I actually just knocked on their door and did my first investigation then. I wanted to become a parapsychologist. I did look into going to Duke University and realized that it was an awful lot of education, awful lot of money for something I was never going to get a job in, so I decided in 1985 to become a police officer. So I joined the academy. I never really left the whole paranormal behind, but it was such a different time that it was not something that you ever talked about. I met my first husband in 1989 at an investigation in Central New York. And, you know, just basically it was kind of a closet hobby. And in 1996 is when I had started my group in Central New York called Central New York Ghost Hunters. And started with basically five people in the group. And at its height, I had over 100 members, which was probably right around the time of you know, this incident. And I knew and remembered what it was like to have this interest in not being able to talk about it. And I wanted to create a group where anybody was welcome, you know, skeptics included, because I really believe that thinking outside the box is the healthiest way to do it. So in between the time of starting my first investigation and starting the group, I was a police officer and responded to a complaint of a single mom that had three boys that believed her ex-husband was harassing her. And we kept getting phone calls going back, and there was never any evidence that it was the ex-husband, but it kind of pointed to the fact that the house was haunted. So after the fourth time, my partner said to her, you know, don't call us again unless you physically see somebody. And that was kind of the day that I started my group, because I really felt she would not be as afraid as she was if she had a little education. So I went back to this woman's house about a week later. She had moved out in the middle of the night. And about 3 months after this, I kept an eye on the house, you know, to see if anybody else had moved in. And about 3 months after this, on my way to work, I discovered that the house was on fire and it burned to the ground within 15 minutes. So that was the day that I started really kind of branching out and talking about it more. you know, especially being a cop, that was something that I had to tread lightly and during the time, because, you know, it was before the shows were ever on. And it was kind of, you know, there wasn't very many of us, you know, doing this as a group, but I expanded more and more. And in 1999 is when I left the police force, and my son Jamie, who was 8 at the time, started becoming severely ill. So I walked away from police work, and that's when I really opened up and really, really opened this up as a group. So fast forward to the year 2005, I got a phone call from a person in Central New York who had just started a group, and we decided that we were going to go do a ghost hunt. Mm-hmm. And we had been to this cemetery once before, and I had not gone over the evidence between the first visit and coming back to the second visit to the cemetery. So my son, Jamie, at the time, who was 14, was skating around town, and I told him to meet us back, and I didn't have time to bring him home before we went to this ghost hunt, so I decided foolishly to bring him with me. So we got to this cemetery, and it was members of my group, and it was members of another group, and we had done this ghost hunting in the cemetery. Jamie was with me, and the show portrays that, you know, we started seeing shadow people, which is the truth, we did, but we weren't afraid. You know, we kind of learned over the years that shadow people were nothing really to be afraid of, but the show really kind of put the blame that the shadow people really was the catalyst in this whole thing, but that's not really what happened. You know, we noticed it, you know, we kind of notated it, and we moved on.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in the cemetery, and we're doing our thing, and my son was given a pair of dowsing rods, and this was something that I'm very on the fence about. I really don't know if they work, and I thought this would be kind of a safe thing for Jamie to kind of play with, and we were given these dowsing rods, and I said to Jamie, I said, you know, I don't know if I really believe in these, but why don't you ask us to take us to a Smith tombstone? And the reason why I chose Smith was because it was such a common name that I figured there's got to be at least 5 or 6 in this cemetery.
Sure.
So we were walking around with these dowsing rods, and he's following the dowsing rods, and sure enough, it brings us to a Smith tombstone that was completely covered in dead grass and leaves and, you know, nothing that he could have seen beforehand. And I thought, well, you know, that's kind of interesting. So we're in the cemetery, and we're following the dowsing rods, and then I kind of realized that at this point that we were far away from everybody else. And I said to Jamie, I said, you know, we need to find our way back. So we were starting to walk back, and of course we're trying to follow our tracks, and I said to Jamie, I said, you know, I said, tell the dowsing rods to take us back to where the group is. So he did, and sure enough, it was a straight line with the dowsing rods right back to the group. And as we were walking back to where the rest of the group was, we started hearing footsteps behind us. And, you know, I kept looking over my shoulder thinking, you know, hey, there's a member behind us. You know, somebody was following us, and nobody was there. And I started walking faster, and, you know, I'm not saying anything to Jamie at this point, and Jamie's keeping up with me, and the footsteps really just kept up with our pace. And just before we got to the group, the footsteps met up with us. That's the only way I could describe it. So, you know, we did our thing. We said our goodbyes to this other group, and, you know, we all got in our cars, and we went home. So the next morning, I'm in the kitchen, and Jamie wakes up, and this is now August 1st, and I'm in the kitchen, and Jamie comes in and shows me a scratch on his leg, and it was the scratch of a star. And what really got me was how perfectly formed this star was, and it wasn't like you know, a connect the dots type of thing. It was the outline of a star, and it seemed to be really, really just kind of perfect, you know? Mm-hmm. And I looked at it, and Jamie showed it to me, and I kind of, you know, poo-pooed it off. You know, Jamie's 14 years old, and, you know, teenagers are teenagers, and I kind of blew it off. So as August progressed, I noticed at this time that odd things started happening in my house. And, you know, once again, I wasn't putting much into, you know, this whole visit that we had taken to the cemetery because, you know, I go logical all the way first. I don't go too paranormal first. I'm making excuses, you know, like a book flew down the staircase one time, and my husband started experiencing hearing things, and you know, I just kind of blew it off. So we get into September. Jamie starts school, and about a week after school starts, I get a phone call from the school, and the school says that Jamie is not going to be able to ride the bus for the rest of the school year. And I was mortified. I had worked for this school. I knew everybody, and I was absolutely mortified. And I was like, you know, what's going on? And they were like, you know, he just kind of riles everybody up on that bus, and the bus drivers just about had it. So I said, you know, please don't kick him off the school bus for the rest of the year. Let me talk to him. And, you know, he came home from school, and I read him the riot act, and I said, you know, this doesn't go on. Mm-hmm. So I noticed that as time went on, that his personality changed, and I was taking note of it. I really didn't put a lot into it, just to the fact of this is a teenage boy. So I really gotta, you know, tighten up the belt with this kid and make sure that, you know, this isn't just, you know, a teenage boy being a teenage boy. And really, really started, you know, riding him about, you know, the way he acts.
Sure.
So it comes to October, and I lecture at colleges for a living. And I had a very big year this year, and I was going to be leaving my house at the at almost the beginning of the second week in August, and I was going to be gone until the first week of November, and that's basically being on the road at lecturing at colleges. And at the same time, I'm also going to school full-time at a university about 40 miles away. So when I was home, I was in school, and if I, you know, very, very rarely was I home. My husband, who works nights, and he's home till probably about 8:30 at night. So I was pretty confident with Jamie being 14 that he could be on his own, you know, putting himself to bed and getting himself up. And, you know, my husband gets home at like 5 in the morning to get him up for school. And so I hit the road, and I came back at Columbus Day weekend, and I was home for Jamie's half day for that school day. So Jamie gets off the bus, and I hadn't seen him for a couple days, and, you know, he comes in the house, and the phone starts ringing, and immediately it's his teachers. And every teacher called up that day except one at this point, and they were explaining that his grades have gone down, and that his behavior was just so questionable. And every single teacher was saying the same thing. And I'm sitting there going, okay, you know, what is going on with this kid? You know, if this kid needs discipline, I'm all about discipline. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm getting angrier by each phone call. And by 4 o'clock, I said to my husband, I said, well, we heard from every teacher except one. And literally at that point, the phone rang, and it was the very last teacher, and this was Jamie's favorite teacher. And she was crying, and I said, what's going on? And she explained that she was leaving the school district, and she said, I saved this phone call for last. And I said, well, you know, why are you leaving? You know, she'd been with the school district for years and years and years. And I said, you know, why are you leaving? And she said, I'm leaving because of your son.
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.